I did that for $800,000 Canadian. And then more recently, I did a round at 25 cents. That was the second round. And that was for $1 million Canadian. And then I did another $1 million at 72 cents Canadian.
Well
That's
done.
all the capital that I've raised. That brings us to 26 million shares outstanding. That's where we are today. Myself and my family own just shy of 30% of the company and have just a little over $475,000 invested.
Very tight share structure. As of right now. So that's music to my ears. And you got really some really big names. Scott Emerson, Kingsman Resources. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Good, Andy. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. Just to me talking to all my viewers and listeners, I first noticed and heard of Kingsman Resources at the 2025 Rules Symposium. They were not a vendor there, but they did present, and they Jeff Phillips, our mutual friend Jeff Phillips, presented there for you. And I believe it was on opening night. I say I believe because I didn't attend the presentation, but I did talk to Jeff during the show and afterwards about the company and what you have going on. So it's I'm thrilled to have you, and also to all my viewers and listeners. That's a big deal because I don't speak for Rick, and I don't speak for Jeff, but they do a great job of screening all of the vendors and all the companies associated with the Rules Symposium. So, Scott, great to have it on. Let's talk first. Give me a 30,000 foot view of the companies. What assets are you drilling for? And you are an early stage driller, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And what I can say, Andy, just from the 30,000 foot view down, I put this company together in post COVID. So what I did is during COVID, there was a lot of talk about a commodity cycle coming on board, and I had a company back in 2011, which I had for 18 years, which I sold. I then sat on the sidelines. And what I saw is this junior market sector really being beat up. I'm sure you were part of that as well, but I saw a lot of opportunity there. So post-COVID, when travel opened back up, myself and my VP of exploration, Kieran Downs, traveled to Mexico. In particular, we went to the state of Chihuahua. And from there, we spent 4 months basically looking at 11 different projects. When I say looking at them, we met the vendors, we traveled on site, we sampled those projects, and then I shortlisted those to one, two, three, four, five, and so on, and went, okay, is there something there that I can build off of? Because a lot of the juniors had left, a lot of the senior companies had left, and these projects sat idle, for 3+ years. So what I did is I took one project, and my adage is the best place to find a mine is where there was one. So I started with one small claim block and then looked at the opportunity that was around that claim block so that I could build something of size. And that took the better part of a year for what we're going to talk about today, which is Las Coloradas, which is our primary company, if you want to call it that. That took the better part of a year. And while I assembled that, I then started to tell the story about Kingsman and what I was going to do and how I was going to build it out. And not that I just had one project in mind, but I had several. And we find ourselves today having acquired Las Coloradas. And I think for you and your listeners, it's important to know that that was done on a cash basis. So the 14 claims that I acquired in total, there are stage cash payments. No shares were issued for that acquisition. And more recently, a project that I've been working on for 3 years called Amaloya We just are finalizing that agreement. And again, it's an old past producing district, and I've consolidated a number of claims to make up size.
Let me interject here. So my story is I've been actively involved in this space for probably 30, when I say probably, I don't know the exact date, but 30 years. I didn't get out, but I did pretty much sit on the sideline. Funny you say that, around 2011. I had a fund up until 2011 that was just natural resource stock based, got out of that. That was great timing. I pat ourselves both on the back. I think that was more luck than skill, probably on both of us here. And then right after COVID or during COVID, I thought we're going to go into another major cycle. My thoughts, just my thoughts. And I jump back in both feet, both as an investor as well as with this channel. So we have an eerily similar timing here. But let talk to me a little bit before, a little bit again about your past success. What company were you associated with, and was it in the gold and silver space?
So I started out with a company called International Mahogany, and International Mahogany had the Joliu discovery in northern Saskatchewan. That was eventually put into production, and that went on to produce for 3.5 years. And don't quote me now, but at one time it was the richest mine that produced in Canada, and it was a gold play. I then took a subsidiary of that company called Golden Peaks Resources, and I went to Argentina. I had that company for 18 years. Mitsubishi was a funding partner. We made a brownfields discovery in the province of Chubut. And I don't know if you or your listeners know much about Argentina or Chubut in particular, but they know Alumina. So while we were there and we were operating, and when I say operating, we were exploring, we had great success. We basically got shut down. And to this day, I was just at the Metals Mining Investment Forum this weekend, and they did a silver presentation. And the number one asset on that silver presentation was a project called Navidad. And it's still non-operational. It's also in the province of Chubut.
Wow.
So then I took that company, and I sold that to a group of Australians, and I exited the space, as I mentioned to you. And then, I think once the mining industry is in your blood, it's always in your blood, Andy. And I came back, and I had an idea of, I was being very particular about the jurisdiction that I wanted to be in, the opportunity. To your point, yes, we're both very fortunate in the sense that this commodity cycle has come back, and I just so happen to focus on Mexico and silver. And that partly is because, in terms of travel and getting to a site, I can be on site in one day, I'm located in Vancouver. But that was important to me because the cost and whatnot, to fly to Argentina as an example, and then you overnight, and then you get another flight, and then you overnight, and then you got a 7-hour drive. I looked at it from a practical standpoint and went, okay. And Mexico is a great place to operate. It's gone through some transition in terms of government and whatnot. But I'm going to tell you that we have had no issues. And I think Mexico has a lot to offer.
Yeah, about that, I don't have as much experience with you, or I have, but I do have experience in investing in Mexico. That's what I mean. And Mexico has had some recent challenges here recently, and it has a lot of people concerned, if you would. But I see it also as I just used this saying just in a previous interview today, buy straw hats in the winter. And the companies that did that, especially specifically, not only in this cycle, but also in Mexico, it looks like specifically in Mexico, it looks like they're going to be rewarded here because things are changing and opening up because it seems like the Mexican government with the new administration is really proactive mining and opening things up.
And depending on what state you're in,
Correct.
those states help push that along. So, to your point, we've seen a lot of M&A activity in Mexico as of recent. And as part of that, you're seeing a lot of the mid-tier producers that are awaiting permitting, whether it be for an open pit, or, an underground. You're slowly seeing those permits being issued. They're not making a lot of noise about it, but they are being applied.
Yeah, I support that. I mean, I've seen that as well in some of my investments in the companies that I've been in, but that I'm currently invested in. Talk to me again about the property and the project, the specific projects in Mexico here. What are they and where are you? And to all my viewers and listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, I say this just for their own investment risk. This is early stage exploration and drilling. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead and give me the 30,000 foot views on the properties.
So we are located in the state of Chihuahua, and in particular, we're located in an area called the Parral District. The Parral District does have currently some major producing mines, but it also has some mid-tier companies, and I'm going to call Los Gatos one of those, which was just acquired by First Majestic Silver. Bonaventura is in the area. And in particular, our particular project was an old past producing mine from 1944 to 1952. It was operated by Asarco. And for your listeners, just for ease, that mine operated, it was 300 meters in length, and it operated to about 120 meters to depth, so to the water table. And I'm going to try to summarize this, Andy, because we can talk geology for a long time. But it was a high-grade underground, narrow-veined system. Some of the grades averaged, from 300 to 600 grams a ton, so very high grade. We went in there, we sampled along surface. So we went along the two structures that they had identified because we thought, oh, this might go along strike and it might go below the water table. And what we sampled over the course of a year was 1.2 and 1.4 kilometers, respectively. Very high grade. I invite your listeners to go to our website. That's all published there. And then what we did fast forward to that is we went and said, okay, we ran some geophysics to help us better define where we wanted to drill. And then more recently, here in the last, I guess, 2 weeks, we just completed our first 3,200 meter drill program and announced our first hole from that program, which was pretty significant because what we saw or what we received in terms of assays is exactly what they were mining back in the day, and it's a long strike of the old mine. So we're waiting for another 11 assays to come, 11 different locations that we drilled, but that's the high level. So we think that this has big growth potential. We think it's of district scale, and I know, everybody goes, well, how big could it be? I'm going to tell you that the back of an envelope calculation, we're always looking for something that's 200 million ounces plus. And I'll finish Los Colorados because a company called GoGold, which you may be familiar with,
Very familiar with them.
they have a operation about 35 miles from us. They are producing the old tailings from the La Prieta mine, which is located in Parral itself. They currently truck those tailings to their facility. We're 30 miles from them, and our hope is that we find something big enough and something that they would want, because at some point their tailings are going to run out at their location. So again, that's what drives us to this district. That's Los Colorados. We then recently acquired.
About that, let me interrupt you.
Sorry.
So you're right on the fairway, relatively speaking. That's where you really want to be. That's number one. 200 million ounces. And this is silver. I'm saying this because I know the answer, but for all my listeners, correct? That's 200 million ounces of silver, correct?
That's correct.
So
That's a
that's a heck of a lot of silver. If you would, you'd be getting into the tier one asset if, assuming if you did have that, correct?
correct. And again, we've got the old mine that's there, and again, that's on the website, but we've also got other targets that we identified, we just haven't drilled yet. So what's important here is where we did drill, that's approximately 5% of the property. It's a very small portion.
The
So
postage
we've,
stamps,
to
yeah.
your point, we are early stage. We've got a lot of drilling to do, but my motto is the drill bit is what drives value. I
Yeah.
think for you and your listeners, you get success with the drill bit, your junior stock typically reacts.
So you're being way too kind, if you would, and you're being very candid with all of our viewers, which I really do appreciate. That being said, as investors, and again, I am not making a recommendation. I am not making I am as of this dropping, I am not an investor. That more than likely will be changed in the near future. But it sounds like I've seen this play out over and over, and it seems like you've done the same thing in your career. You go to a previous mine that was underdeveloped for whatever reasons, and you build a mine where it was, more or less, and then you expand the operation, correct?
Correct. And
Yeah.
what's interesting about Las Coloradas, because I had a checklist when we looked for projects, and that was I wanted a project that no junior had ever held before. Because in our industry, Andy, you see a lot of recycled projects,
Right.
and everybody was like, oh, that's going to be really tough. And, but Las Coloradas itself sat idle for 20 plus years
Right.
because it was so fragmented and disjointed, different owners, different expectations. And, I'm not going to say I thank COVID for that, but it really made a meeting of the minds. So people were like, okay, well, if my neighbor with that claim's doing it, then I'm going to do it. And like I say, that was a year
Yeah.
assembling that.
Put in the work. Okay, so tell me about the other properties that you have, the other and you
So
drill bits turning right now, is that correct?
no, we just completed at Las Coloradas.
Got it.
And then we have a second project that I just announced, which is called Amaloya. And again, it follows the same footprint, Andy. It's an old past producing district. You had a number of majors that were in the area. We can talk Kennecott, Teck, Anglo American, but they all had pieces. No one company controlled the entire area. So when I spoke to Kennecott as an example, they left because they couldn't get size. That's why they left.
Got it.
So again, we've got two past producing mines on that. It's about three times the land package that Las Coloradas is, and it's predominantly gold. So we've seen the artisanal miners that have been there. I believe I have pictures on my corporate deck on my website of what the artisanal miners were producing from there. So our strategy there again is to go in. We're currently doing some sampling right now, and then plunk a drill rig on it, and
Got it.
let's see what comes of that.
Got it. Okay, so what is really your vision here? Well, first, what do you think you have, if you can comment about that, as far as gold is concerned? And to all my viewers and listeners, not a recommendation. Imagine Scott's not even in this conversation. I'm highly interested in just the silver play, just alone silver, but I'm interested now. What do you think you have with gold? Yeah.
So that's a question I get asked, and I'm going to say that that target is between 1 to 2 million ounces of gold.
Got it.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's what we envision. And again, I caution everybody, there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of drilling to do. But we wouldn't take this on for anything smaller, because if you look at the mid tiers and you look at the senior companies, they want size,
Yep.
right?
Absolutely.
And that's what we aim to find.
Yep.
And
Okay.
We're off to a good start. I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah, well, and we're going to talk about that. But again, to all my viewers and listeners, there's three things I like and I look at for at in an investment opportunity. And it's I really follow this Lassonde curve. I just had Lobo Tigre on last week, and everybody check out that video if you can. And it's I look at very early stage, if you would. That's usually where you get a huge run up on the stock price. It is riskier for all of those investors out there that don't want early stage development. This isn't for you. I personally like that, my own risk tolerance. I really, really like that because that's where I get a huge bang for my buck. In the middle of the Lassonde curve, I look for deep value that I see as deep value. And then I look at the end, going into the end of this Lassonde curve, which is going in production, where you can typically can get 2 to 5 times your money going into the end of going into production. Scott is really focusing on the really early part of the Lassonde curve. Again, high risk but high reward. How I do think this, correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, how this project is de-risked is because not only the players that you have around you, but also this was a Brownfields project that was already pr a provenable resource, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So let's talk to me about infrastructure and really the vision. And the reason why I'm asking about infrastructure, most of these companies, to all my viewers and listeners, they'll get bought out. A few will be actually taken to a mine, but I do want to know what Scott's vision of the project is, if he's looking to take this to a mine, if you can comment on that. But also, what's really important if you do get, whether you're taking it to a mine or do get taken out, is really infrastructure around. So talk to me about your infrastructure.
So the infrastructure, as I mentioned, we are our closest major city is called Parral. And again, that was where the old La Prieta mine operated, and that's what Parral was built around. We're about 35 kilometers our location.
So
So
you're right
again,
there.
accessible by highway, and then we've got about 5 kilometers or 3.5 miles for US listeners. To travel to get to site, there is water, there is power. And again, Parral itself, it was built around mining. So, in terms of people, in terms of equipment, experience, that's all in Parral. And I think that's for us is something that is a big positive for us. So our regional manager lives in Parral, grew up in Parral, has relationships there. Our project geologist, Perla, she's from Mexico, but again, she's familiar with, the communities and whatnot. And I say this, the closest community is about 85 people from us. So again, a good, in terms of groceries and things like that, that's all accessible. Very easily.
Got it. Okay. Talk to me, I guess, really about what do you want? What do you want this to see? What do you want to see out of all this? What's your vision for all of this?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I don't want to be a company that builds a mine and puts something into production. I want to be able to find something large enough, Andy, that a company like GoGold, we're going to use them again. Because they have their operation right there. It's not a mill, so they don't pack it up and leave. They process there. It's fully permitted. If I could, find something big enough or interesting enough, that management is very capable of taking a project like this and moving it to the next step.
Yeah, I'm really appreciate your candor on that. And the reason I say that is that there's different skill sets between exploration, developing, and then producing. And it's really knowing who you are, what kind of people and team that you have in each stage. And it seems like you're really leaning into your skill set and your experience, correct?
Correct. We're explorationists. I love putting the package together, so to speak. That, those are some pretty interesting meetings with pretty interesting people because they could be, second generation, third generation. These claims have been held for that length of time. And for your listeners, and I'm sure Andy, you probably know, Mexico, you cannot go in and stake like you can in the US, as an example, or Canada. You have to put together claims that exist. So they don't allow new staking. You can't go out there and come up with a theory and go, oh, I think this is whatever this is, and I'm going to stake this. You can't do that. So that's why it's important when you're there, and time, it takes time, but you have to deal with those 14 individuals, whether it's the grandpa or the parents or the kids in some cases. But I love that. Putting that together, that was where the excitement was. And for you, because you mentioned, Jeff Phillips and whatnot, I had originally came to what we call PDAC, which is a big mining conference in March of every year. And I came with this idea, and I had my maps and everything rolled up, and I came and I started to show individuals, and they're like, yeah, that's a great idea, but come back to us when you got it put together. So that's why I mentioned the whole year. I put it together with my own capital and my family's and a few, interested shareholders now, but I put that together, and then a year later I went back and said, rolled out those same maps, and I said, look, it X marks the spot. I've got these 14 claims right now, which is 3 miles by 3 miles approximately. Said I put it together. Then the interest was like, oh, wow.
You got something here. Yeah.
The rest is history, so to speak.
Let's talk about share structure and cash. How much cash do you have in the bank? And is your drilling mostly or fully funded?
So the drill program that we just completed was fully funded. We have approximately $1.1 million Canadian in cash. Andy, we will be looking to raise capital because if the Las Coloradas program is successful, which the first hole is giving us some indication or some confidence that it will be, we're looking to do an 11,000 meter drill program at Las Coloradas.
Got it.
That's what we have planned. And then we have the work at Amaloya, which is approximately a 3,000 meter drill program that we plan to do there in the next 12 months.
Got it.
Because
Okay.
this year's just about over. So when I say we've got individuals on site sampling, mapping, and all of that, your days are getting shorter. We have a drill rig sitting currently at Las Coloradas because they're awaiting us to get additional results because I don't want to start to drill again until we have all the knowledge that we can have to make sure that our next program is planned accordingly.
Got it. And how much skin do you have in the game, if you don't mind me asking?
So when I started the company, I did a round of financing, which myself and my family participated in to the tune of about $175,000 Canadian. We then did another round at 15 cents Canadian. Myself and my family participated in that for just a little over $125,000. That is where I brought in Jeff Phillips. He participated in that. Doug Casey, which maybe some of your listeners know,
We've had
that
him on many times. Yes.
okay, Mr. Casey participated in that. Bob Bishop, which was a newsletter writer back in the day.
Yep.
That Bob followed me, 18 years ago. So I put that together along with some of other people that you will know. I did that for $800,000 Canadian. And then more recently, I did a round at 25 cents. That was the second round. And that was for $1 million Canadian. And then I did another $1 million at 72 cents Canadian.
Well
That's
done.
all the capital that I've raised. That brings us to 26 million shares outstanding. That's where we are today. Myself and my family own just shy of 30% of the company and have just a little over $475,000 invested.
Very tight share structure as of right now. So that's music to my ears. And you got really some really big names in
Yeah,
the
I've got some
industry.
really good supporters
Yes.
and mentors. I guess you could, say that, that are, that have bought into my theory and what I want to do with the company. And they are extremely supportive.
Yeah. Excellent. Do you have any options or warrants outstanding? And if you do, what price are they written
So from that 25 cent financing, the first financing we did no warrants. The
at? Okay.
second financing, we did do a full warrant with that. So we have 4 million warrants at 40 cents Canadian.
Okay.
And then we have another 775,000 warrants at a dollar five.
Got it. And where are you currently being traded at right now?
We trade about a dollar 60 Canadian, dollar 55, somewhere around there. We had a, we did have a significant pop based on that first drill result, which that happened here about 8 days ago. But I still believe there's a lot of upside there. Future financings that we do at this level won't provide us a lot of, dilution, which is nice. And again, I think what's important there, Andy, when we talk about this is, no shares were issued, for any of the acquisitions. I did it as company president. I went in there and negotiated, and those are scaled out. In terms of Los Colorados, they're scaled out over 7 years, with the balloon payments being years six and seven, because I believe that's the time that's needed in order to explore something properly. I think you need that window. And I did the same thing with Amaloya, where I started, first payment, it is in, it's inexpensive, and it graduates, to a higher purchase price in year eight. But that gives us time to spend money in the ground, as opposed to people and, issuing shares and getting that dilution and whatnot. So that's what I've been able to do, and I hope I can continue to use that model, because to your point, share structure is extremely important with a junior company.
Yeah, very much. And that's one thing I look at. You guys are really, really tight share structure there. So congratulations to accomplish all of this with just 26 million shares outstanding. So where can people reach out to you if they want more information? And by the way, don't give your phone number, but by the way, to all my viewers and listeners, I butt dialed Scott yesterday. We had never spoken before, but he was in my phone and I was doing some paperwork and I went to my car driving home from my office and I called him just out of, again, as an accent. He picked up the phone on a Sunday. I really appreciated that. But where can people find you? Where can they find information? What exchanges are you traded on and what's your ticker symbols?
Okay, so we're listed on the TSX Venture. Our symbol there is KNG. We're listed on the OTCQB under KNGRF. And we have a Frankfurt listing, which is TUY. The easiest place to get information is our website, Andy, which is kingsmanresources.com. But we're also on Instagram. I do X. Those two, for listeners is probably the easiest way, because I try to do something there when we have something relevant or just industry news. And I think because most people want to look at something on their phones nowadays, so you can find us there as well.
I'll put all of this in the show notes, both on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. Scott, want to thank you so much coming on board. I am very much looking forward to seeing how this story and projects progress here. So I want to thank you and love to have you on again really soon.
Thanks, Andy. And as I always close these interviews off, and that is stay tuned because I think we've got a lot more to come.
Excellent. All right. Well, I look forward to following it. Thank you so much,
Thanks,
Scott.
Andy.
You bet.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you.